bonus. Something extra that is good. B-O-N-U-S. Bonus.
All right, guys, welcome into another bonus episode of your favorite piece, the piece of matter, the two piece.
Is this their favorite? I don't know. There's a lot of peas in
green peas out there. What else?
A lot of peas.
That's not a lot of peas. That's it.
Yes, there's a lot of peas in the
world. There's green peas. There's snap peas.
Yes.
There's, you can't
name chickpeas.
Chickpeas. Todd's right. Chickpeas.
You can't name any peas, brother. I told you.
Just saying. Well, the peas start a lot of things.
All right, so let's celebrate. So two peas on a podcast. We got another bonus episode. Andy's been fucking, can't wait for this one, brother. You've been very excited for this one. Yeah. I know our guest is as well. I'm going to bring him in a second. Okay. But this bonus episode, for those tuning in, just so you know, we're doing our top five. It's another top five. We like to do that.
Okay.
It's our top five Star Wars moments. There you go, brother. So the top five scenes or moments from the Star Wars franchise.
From the films.
From the film. I'm going to do the parameters for the list. Before I do that, let's introduce our guest that's joining us. So this gentleman can be found on the Exhaust Ports podcast, which is Star Wars related. And he's also a part of the Dork Sides Productions, which is like a network of kind of like Star Wars geeks and get together and share fan arts and things like that.
Super exciting.
Follow both those guys on Twitter. They got a lot of cool things going on in the world of Star Wars. Probably getting pumped up for The Last Jedi's coming up, I'm sure. But let's welcome him in, Todd from Exhaust Port. Todd, what's up, brother?
What's up, guys? Thanks for having me, man. I'm stoked.
Absolutely, man. We got a little little callback to when Andy and I first met you. You came into our restaurant.
Yeah.
And you sat at the bar. Yeah. And you said, holy shit, you guys have a podcast? So do I.
Yeah.
And we said, yeah. And then you said, mine's about Star Wars. And he's like, holy shit, I'm Star Wars. Yeah. Oh, I love Star Wars. And you guys got into that whole thing. And now fast forward, what is it, 6 months later, you're on the show. It took a while. Sorry about that.
Hey, you know what? I've been busy myself. So no worries, fellas. Yeah. I'm just glad to be here.
Yeah, man. No problem. Thanks for being here. We really appreciate you doing it. And being that you're what I would call a Star Wars aficionado. This is a great top five for you to be involved with. Hopefully you had fun coming up with your list there. It was hard for me.
It's hard. There's so many good moments.
It was hard for me. I feel like if this was a top 10, it would have been a little less painful. But I was able to narrow it down. And then if you guys have a few honorable mentions, we'll do that at the end as well. So let me give a few parameters here.
Okay, we need parameters.
We don't usually. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. We don't usually do parameters for the top fives because it's usually pretty self-explanatory. Yes. However, like Andy said, we are limiting to the feature films, the theatrical releases. Okay. So we're not doing Star Wars Rebels, Clone Wars, all that stuff.
Okay.
You know, the prequels, the original trilogy, Rogue One is part of the deal. Obviously, no one's seen Last Jedi yet. This top five is going to correspond with Last Jedi's release. So we won't be including Last Jedi if you're listening post the release of that because it came out. What month is this? We're in September. September of 2017. Yes. So it will not include Last Jedi because it hasn't happened yet, technically. Okay. And then the other thing is we collectively, the three of us, decided that we are not going to include the reveal, Luke, I'm your father.
Yes.
So the reveal that Vader / Anakin is Luke's father in Empire Strikes Back. We will not be including that as part of our moment because I feel like that would have been everybody's number one or at least pretty high on everybody's list. And it's kind of a given, right? Yes. I mean, even people that don't know Star Wars, that's the moment that they know.
And it's a bit, and it's a bit played out now that we now that we're in this moment thinking about it. But you got to go back to the context of watching the original three movies and realize that no one knew it at the time. So at the time, it's a huge deal that this, you know, Darth Vader, the incarnation of evil, you know, in Luke's eyes is revealed that you didn't kill my father. You are my father. Right. So, I mean, it's a huge moment.
There is no escape. Don't make me destroy you. Luke, you do not yet realize your importance. You have only begun to discover your power. Join me, and I will complete your training. With our combined strength, we can end this destructive conflict and bring order to the galaxy.
I'll never join you!
If you only knew the power or the dark side. Obi-Wan never told you what happened to your father.
He told me enough. He told me you killed him.
No. I am your father.
Oh, yeah. It's absolutely huge. And honestly, any fan, no matter if you're a casual fan or if you're a fan who runs a podcast like me, if you didn't list that as number one, you're just trying too hard to be different, is the way I would put it.
Yeah. I mean, it's the most impactful, right?
Yeah.
You gotta realize, too, that like 1980, there weren't really movie spoilers. And I was lucky enough and I'm old enough to have seen all the Star Wars films in the theater. Although the first film I don't remember really. I was only three, but Empire have detailed memories of, and I remember looking up at my mom exactly where she was sitting when Darth Vader proclaimed, "I am your father," and you know nobody expected that. I mean, to the point where even most of the actors in the film didn't know,
right?
Including the guy in the Darth Vader suit. So
right, and you got to think too in the day and age we live in. I mean, the art of the spoiler is lost, really, because I mean, the social media.
Oh, absolutely, it's hard. It's hard to be spoiled. Yeah, it's hard to be surprised.
It's just like you can almost, if you want to, you can definitely avoid being. You can spoil it for yourself if you want to. Whereas in the to Todd's point in the '80s, you couldn't do that because I mean, this was only in the theater. Yeah. I mean, it wasn't. There was no internet. There was no social media.
Yeah.
So unless your friend told you to party or something, I mean, you had no idea. So you're right. I mean, have you seen, Todd, have you seen the video? You probably have, being a Star Wars guy, but have you seen the video that went viral not too long ago, maybe with the release of Force Awakens, with all the young kids seeing that reveal for the first time?
It's funny you bring that up, man. Honestly, that was one of the ways I was able to get my oldest daughter into Star Wars. I think because her parents are such fanatics.
Yeah, exactly.
The tendency is for the kid not to like what the parents like.
Right.
Good point. True.
So we kind of showed her that. So it spoiled the reveal in terms of, you know, her watching the movie. Mm-hmm. But I think it kind of intrigued her and piqued her interest to where I finally looped her in to the dark side and converted her to a hardcore Star Wars fan.
I got you.
Yeah.
All right. So the theatrical releases only and no Vader father reveal. So that will not be on here. But just so everyone knows, that would obviously have been on all of our list had we decided to include
big
that.
Moment. Big
all right. So we didn't. I'm fucking horrible at this. I don't know if Todd knows. I'm not a very good host. I don't have a very good organization.
You should start your podcast off, however, by apologizing to our guests first and foremost. I'd like to apologize. To Todd,
however, I don't know who's going first because we didn't talk about that ahead of time. Do you want to go first? Do you want me to go first?
Let our guests go first.
Okay, well, let's let the guests first. Okay, so Todd, we will let you go first, brother. You're our guest here. So Andy's he's a gentleman over there.
I'm a good man. I'm a good guy.
By the way, Todd, I wore a Star Wars t-shirt for the event today. Andy has on a v-neck. With no art of any kind on.
I'm so sorry.
I can't believe
it. At least he doesn't have a Star Trek shirt on.
That's true.
See, that's the thing.
That's a good point.
See, I keep Star Wars in my heart, so I wear it every day.
You wear it all the time.
I'm walking the path of the Jedi.
I feel you, brother. All right, Todd. So I'm going to let you start us off, man, with your number. And by the way, guys, let's give the episode number that the scene is from, and then, you know, whatever you would quote-unquote title the scene, and then if you want to talk a little bit about it, that's great, too. So, Todd, let's go ahead and start us off, brother, with your number five moment from the Star Wars universe. What do you got there, buddy?
All right. I titled this moment A Quiet End. It is in Rogue One when the shield generator installation is taken down by the crashing Star Destroyers and the music quiets, which I think is a tribute to Michael Giacchino, the composer. And you see Admiral Raddus kind of sitting there and understanding that was pretty much the end of the Rogue One crew. The thing I love so much about that moment is that, it's so opposite of the choice composer John Williams would have made, when I think it would have been a bombastic moment, and it's very, very quiet.
It
really builds to the end of the film with Cassian and Jen's death and then Vader approaching the Tantive IV for the climax. There's just something about that scene that has resonated with me ever since I saw the film.
So do you think you would have, that scene would have been as impactful to you if the music had been different, or probably not?
I doubt it, but I think that's a big part of Star Wars is the music.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to spoil anybody else's upcoming moments. But without the music, I doubt we would have a lot of these moments, because John Williams is obviously the man. And Michael stepping into his shoes, I think, did a really, really good job with a soundtrack that grows on you over time.
Right.
And that moment in particular, to me, really stood out to me in the theaters, and every subsequent viewing, I looked really forward to that moment. And that's kind of how I base my list, is moments I really look forward to still seeing after hundreds upon hundreds of times of seeing all these movies.
Right,
you know?
Right. It's interesting that you said that, because I was trying to figure out how to narrow mine down, because like I said, mm-hmm. I had like 10 or 15 to start
yeah.
with.
Yeah.
And what I did is I based it on my memory.
Yeah.
So the ones that because I went back and watched a lot of these on YouTube.
Yeah.
And some of them, and I'm sorry, Andy, you and Todd are, let's just preface this by saying y'all are much larger fans than I am. Honestly, I'm probably what you would call a casual fan. I mean, I've seen every movie. I love the franchise. Uh-huh. I own memorabilia, so on and so forth. But I'm not, you know, I can't name the third cousin of, you know, all that. I can't do all that stuff. But with that being said, you know, when I was going back and watching some of these mm-hmm. scenes, and what I ended up settling, the five I ended up settling on are ones that I was like, oh, yeah, I remember that. Yeah. That really yeah. fucked with me when I saw it. Whereas some of them I'm like, oh, I didn't even really remember that. Mm-hmm. You know, it was a cool scene, but I had kind of forgotten about yeah. it. So that's kind of what I based my five on. Okay, good number five there. I love Rogue One. You got to comment on that.
I think, Todd, that's a great moment, because the point for me of Rogue One, and really the theme and what it built toward, and I love, like you said, how they got quiet at the end, is, you know, it's sacrifice. It's the sacrifice to hope. And one of my honorable mentions was honestly the two individuals sitting on the beach right before, you know, and they're seeing the, you know, the devastation approach, and this idea about sacrificing for a cause greater than you. And I loved it. I'm sure I'm not spoiling it to you, but our listeners, I love it that the crew dies, and you have the moment where the general is realizing that. And I just think it's so beautiful, an idea and a moment to give yourself over to hope and to die for the cause of something. I think that's an amazing, I mean, it's a beautiful
moment. On a much broader scale. Absolutely. So good number five there, buddy. Yeah. Nice way to get us started there with the latest installment there from the series.
Yeah.
Appreciate it.
All right. So you want me to go, or you want to go? What do you want to do? You want to be the finale, or you want me to?
I'll go next.
Go ahead. So what's your number five, Andy?
It's interesting that you mentioned, why do we pick our moments? As a theologian and a philosopher, I typically pick moments that speak to the philosophy and the theology of the Force. And number five, these are a bit arbitrary because it's so hard to narrow them down, because there's so many great moments. I call this the pull toward the light. Episode 7, Kylo Ren is having a conversation with the burnt mask of his grandfather, Darth Vader, and he is saying, I'm feeling the pull toward the light. I'm feeling the pull toward the light.
Forgive me. I feel it again. The pull to the light. Supreme Leader senses it. Show me again the power of the darkness, and I will let nothing stand in our way. Show me, Grandfather, and I will finish what you started.
You know, up until that moment, especially in the original three movies, we always talk about the pull toward the dark side's pulling me, the dark side's pulling me, the dark side's pulling me. We don't realize that, you know, once you give in to anger, once you're trying to live that dark life, or the life where of passion and the life of, you know, of illusion and giving yourself over to power, that you're still going to be pulled toward the light. And I love that dichotomy, how Kylo Ren, his character, he's angry, he's juvenile, he's not as powerful as he thinks he is. He's trying to be his grandfather, but he's being pulled toward compassion. He's being pulled toward feeling, pulled toward love, and he acknowledges that in that moment where he's talking to his grandfather's burnt mask.
There you go.
Yeah.
That was a pretty powerful scene. Yeah. You know, and he's aspiring to be that.
Yeah, exactly. You know, so. He wants to be his grandfather. He even has a black mask.
Right. And you can sense that. Well, you can sense that from the very first second you see him on screen. You know, okay, he's trying to be
exactly.
He's like Vader Jr. here. You know what I mean? I like Kylo Ren. I thought he got a little bit. Yeah. I mean, you can't follow up Darth Vader. I mean, what are you going to do? You know, so. All right. Good choice here for number five, Andy. Well, I like
it. If I can chime in a little bit, of course, I love that choice, actually, because you do make a good point about, you know, the constant, you know, preachings of the Jedi, the pull to the dark. Well, we see Kylo as a very conflicted mm-hmm. character, and I think he was brilliantly portrayed by Adam Driver.
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
The one thing about Kylo that I love is how different he is in and out of the mask.
Mm-hmm.
Although he is wearing his mask in that scene and he seems unsure, for the most part, when he's in the mask, he's very confident
mm-hmm.
in his path to the dark. But when he takes the mask off, he is He kind of comes off as an unsure kid who is being pulled in a lot of different directions, and I think that's intentional. His arc is really the arc, even above Rey's, that I'm looking most forward to seeing mm-hmm. kind of come to fruition over the next two films.
Yes, true. And he is a great actor. You're right. I love him.
Yeah, I agree completely. And I like the way he portrayed his character, because it's very conflicted. It's a very conflicted character.
Well, listen, guys, I don't know if I'm going to get stones thrown at me or what.
It's okay.
You guys,
hey, put the mask on, GB confident.
Actually, my son has a Darth Vader mask in his Halloween stuff. I should go get it out. Maybe that'll make this more acceptable. However,
it's okay, man. You know, you can say lay in the string bikini if you want to.
Again, I'm watching these clips back, and I'm kind of recollecting my memories of them. The prequels, if you will, episode 1, 2, and 3, are not widely received. We'll just say that. Aside from what the three of us may think of them, if you put them up against the original trilogy, they're far inferior in terms of overall, feeling. However, I've got a couple from the prequels on here.
That's cool, man.
So I'm going to start out. My number 5 is from episode 3, which is my favorite of the of the prequel films, Revenge of the Sith. Yep. And it is when Yoda fights Darth Sidious. We get to see Yoda yielding his lightsaber. You know, one of the reasons this was cool to me when I look back at when I saw it, and I apologize I didn't put the year on here, but when I saw that, you know, the original trilogy, and being such a huge fan of it, we never saw Yoda fight.
Yeah.
You know, we never saw Sidious fight. We never saw arguably the two greatest Jedi Masters, you would think. I mean, the leaders of those of the light and dark side. So you would think those are the two powerful, and we get to see them fight. It was a great fight sequence, especially for its time in terms of, you know, action and throwing the ships that he was throwing at him.
The things they stand on.
Right. Absolutely. And you get to see, you know, kind of light versus dark in a very simplistic but entertaining fight sequence. Yoda's one of the most iconic Star Wars characters.
Oh.
And just to get to see this kind of different side of him, not the diplomatic, kind of like wise, you know how Yoda is. But you get to see him you get to see him actually kicking ass, and fighting for himself. And of course he ends up kind of losing, quote unquote, that battle, and he has to escape and get rescued and so on and so forth. But he does make it out, and it was a cool fight sequence that lasted, 4 or 5 minutes. Yeah. But I had great memories of that because I love Yoda, and I loved kind of getting to see a different kind of side of him.
I think that was a great moment. And one of the things I think that makes that scene so awesome is two things. Yoda realizes just how powerful Darth Sidious is. And number two, I love how maniacal Sidious is, where he's basically cackling and laughing the whole time. To me, that really adds to his persona, because he's so confident and so demented that he's just laughing as he's fighting Yoda for the most part. And I think it's a great scene, and juxtaposed against the Senate chamber.
Yeah.
I think the symbolism there was awesome.
Right.
You know, the prequels, to speak to your point earlier, the prequels catch a lot of flack, but I think a lot of that's inherited flack.
Good point.
There's a lot of great things in the prequels. The story is actually sweeping and amazing. The execution is kind of where the problem tends to lie. But Revenge of the Sith is a phenomenal film. And any Star Wars fan who disagrees with me on that, I would love to have you on my podcast will duke it out. You know,
yeah, take them on, bro.
I love that choice, man. I think it's a great choice.
Okay, cool, man. Well, I appreciate that.
Yeah, I'd like to kind of echo that as well, because you rarely get to see how powerful, like you said, how powerful Darth Sidious actually is, because Yoda and Darth Sidious, the Emperor, have transcended the need to actually use physical power because they're so powerful. Like one of my favorite moments, I know we're not really talking about this, but one of my favorite moments from Star Wars is from the Clone Wars, where Darth Sidious actually goes and challenges his old apprentice, Darth Maul. And when you see him come up, like, he rarely fights, but when you see him come down, the way he handles them and the way, like you said, he laughs the whole time, you're like, oh, right, this is Darth Sidious.
Right.
This is arguably one of the most powerful Sith Lords ever. Yes, of course he's badass. You know?
Well, so I appreciate it, fellas.
It's a cool moment.
Thank you for patting me on the back there. I appreciate that. I was a little concerned. It was a Star Wars group here. But all right, Todd, that wraps us back around to you, brother, for your number 4 Star Wars moment. What you got over there, buddy?
All right, so this one's going to come from Return of the Jedi. And I call it prophecy fulfilled. It's the scene where Luke embraces the dark side, almost kills his father, and then lays down his weapon, allowing Anakin to fulfill the prophecy of the Chosen One. And the thing I love so much about this is Luke's training and his eventuality in becoming a Jedi really flies in the face of the dogmatic teachings of the Jedi from the prequels, because it's Luke's attachment to his friends and his love for his father, two things that are forbidden, that ultimately is the ultimate Jedi act when he lays his weapon down mm-hmm. and Emperor Palpatine / Darth Sidious realizes that he has failed, which in turn reawakens Anakin to realize that, you know, he has love for his son and he fulfills the prophecy of destroying the Sith. And I look at Return of the Jedi and the title more interestingly than most people, especially in light of the prequels. You know, when it came out, everybody feels like, oh, Return of the Jedi, Luke's coming back. Well, ultimately, to me, Return of the Jedi is the return of Anakin Skywalker because it's his story.
Interesting.
So that's my number four moment in an otherwise heavily flawed film.
Yeah,
that's good.
Yeah, I can't say enough about that moment because you're right. That is the fulfillment of the original three films. And the fact that he's able in that moment to look at his hand and to look at Vader's hand and realize that they're one and the same and that that the right thing to do, the compassionate thing to do, is to lay down his weapon and say, you have failed, I have become a Jedi. So the awakening of Luke in that moment and the awakening to his Jedi potential are, you know, the beginning of his utmost potential, which will continue on. I think I can't say enough about that moment. And, it's a beautiful moment.
And prophecy fulfilled, no doubt. All right, cool, man. Nice one there, Todd. So, Andy, I think you decided to go next, so it'll be your number four. Yes. Andy, what you got over there?
Number four, I have to bend the rules a little bit, because this is a series of moments, but I will tie them together. I call this Vader Becoming, if you will. It all begins when Anakin Skywalker kneels down, and the Emperor touches him and says, I dub you Darth Vader. The second beat of that is when Anakin is on a planet. He's been sent to kill members of the Trade Federation, and Obi-Wan Kenobi shows up, and basically Anakin says, Obi-Wan Kenobi confronts Anakin, and Anakin says, if you're not with me, you're my enemy. And Obi-Wan says, only a Sith deals in absolutes, which is an absolute, and that's a problematic, but anyway. Yeah. But
Obi-Wan for you.
Exactly. And then the final moment, the pinnacle moment, which was ruined when he cried out for his ex-lover, but let's not talk about that, is when he is burnt to a crisp, he is found, and the transformation of Vader himself, how much pain he is in, the mask coming over his head. You see in his eyes the fear. He sees through the red and it clicks, and Darth Vader breathes for the first time.
Love it.
The transformation of Vader, I give you number four.
You were the chosen one. It was said that you would destroy the Sith, not join them. Bring balance to the Force, not leave it in darkness. You were my brother, Anakin. I loved you.
Love it. And before you say anything, before Todd says anything, that's my number four. Vader's first breath from episode three. Revenge of the Sith. Not quite. I did the 2 or 3 minute. I didn't do the fucking half of the plot like you did.
I'm so sorry.
But yes, that's my number four as well. So we have our first crossover match there. But I just listed it as Vader's first breath. I'll let Todd comment too. But I mean, just real quick, since this is my number four also. I mean, basically, Darth Vader, right? I mean, that is the... And I'm not even talking about Star Wars. I'm talking about villains, period.
Of our youth, Darth Vader is
movie villains. The villain. I mean, he's, if not number one, mm-hmm. I mean, in everybody's top five in the entire world. Mm-hmm. So this is him becoming what we knew him to be in the 70s and 80s and so on. So, I mean, for no other reason, that's why it was in my top five, just because that's when we, like you said, the mask and what we knew Darth Vader to be, that's mm-hmm. when we see it for the first time.
Yeah.
And I feel like I remember watching back to the prequels, like I was so excited for him because, oh, Anakin Skywalker, Darth Vader's origin, like I'm going to see a lot of Darth Vader, and you don't see any Darth Vader until that last scene.
But you get hints of it. You get hints of him becoming. Little moments.
But you know what I mean. You don't see him in the costume and the helmet and all that stuff. So that's why it was my number four. Todd, do you have any feelings about that scene there?
Yeah, one thing I love about that scene is the symbolism of Vader on the operating table, or Anakin becoming Darth Vader, and Padme giving birth to the twins at the same time.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you basically have the death of Anakin and the death of Padme, and the birth of Darth Vader and the birth of Luke and Leia happening at exactly the same moment.
Right.
Again, another example of great storytelling in the prequels.
And you didn't like, Todd, do you echo Andy's sentiment there that you didn't really like the calling out for Padme? I feel like it went with his turn, though. It went with him turning fully dark. But it was a little overdramatic. Is that what you're saying?
I could have done without the no.
Right, exactly. Yeah, yeah.
Right.
But other than that, I think the scene was played really, really well. And look, I mean, if you really want to boil down to it, I mean, that is a huge moment in Star Wars. But there's almost a cringeworthy moment in every Star Wars film.
There has to be. Exactly.
So, you know, I don't really let that sour me too hard because, you know, the backdrop is is so awesome.
Right.
You know?
I agree.
And Todd, I agree with you wholeheartedly that it really comes back to storytelling. And this is, I mean, what makes Star Wars Star Wars? It's a great story. From beginning to end, it's just a great story. You know?
Yep.
And it's poetic.
Yeah.
You know, like Lucas, say what you want, man, but the guy is great at visual rhyming.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, if you look back through, you know, all the movies, there's so much rhyming in the way scenes are framed and shot and acted. And he's a visionary storyteller. He just sucks as a fucking director. You know? I mean,
right, brother. Yeah. Tell the story.
He's got the story.
Let us do the rest.
He's got
man.
The story.
Yeah.
All right, cool, man. So I got a couple. My first two are from episode 3. I don't know if you guys were going to get on me about that, but at least you joined me there, Andy. So. Yeah. All right, so that wraps us back around to you for your number, to Todd, for his number three.
Yes.
Todd, what you got over there, man?
All right, this is from Empire Strikes Back. Mm-hmm. I call it, I don't know what I'm doing here. So basically, I love the moment I love the entire meeting of Luke and Yoda.
Oh, yeah, buddy.
And the moment in the hut where Yoda closes his eyes and says, I cannot teach him, right after Luke kind of throws one of his Skywalker patented tantrums.
Yep, yep.
Where he's like, I don't know what I'm doing here, and he hits his head. To me, the way Frank Oz did the puppet of Yoda, it is so emotional. And when he starts talking to Ben Kenobi and, you know, his lecture to Luke about watching him and not being patient, and you can see the reluctance in Yoda to not want to repeat the mistakes or the perceived mistakes that they made with Anakin, even though I could argue that philosophy deeply on another show. But yeah, I love that moment, you know, of realization where Luke kind of realizes that, you know, everything isn't as it appears on the outside, you know, and his dismissal of Yoda early speaks to Luke's youth and impatience and lack of understanding in the way that the universe and the Force and Jedi in general work. It's a beautiful moment.
Yeah, that's a good one.
I'm crying, Todd. Crying, brother.
Gotta get Kleenexes now.
If you want to know about the Jedi, if you want to know about the Force, I mean, go through and watch Luke's interactions with Yoda on that planet.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to go ahead and throw 3 out here because 3 is from that interaction.
So this is your number 3.
Yes, I got to jump on Todd here. I got to jump on you, Todd.
Go for it, man.
Number 3. Luke is going through his training, and there's so many good moments in that training where, you know, his X-Wing fighter starts to sink into the swamp. And then, you know, Yoda basically says, you know, lift it, you know, just lift it at the font. So Luke tries to use the Force to lift the X-Wing out of the swamp. He can't do it. It bubbles back down, it disappears, and he's like, I can't do this. Yoda closes his eyes, lifts the X-Wing fighter up, it comes across and lands, and Luke says his iconic line, I don't believe it. And Yoda responds, and that is why.
I don't believe it.
That is why you fail.
That was actually going to be one of my bonuses too.
Yeah.
But I felt like I couldn't have both moments in there because it's so close. I'm glad you called that one out.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, I had some bonuses from that scene as well. I mean, you know, Yoda, you can't die.
You gotta believe
strong
it,
am I in the Force, but not that strong.
You gotta believe,
you know,
it, brother.
What's in there? Only what you take with you. I mean, come on. There's so many good
ones. You got to believe that's a good one, though.
Yeah. Yeah.
And like I said, when I did my number 5, Yoda was one of my favorites. So very wise, which I think was the point. Okay, so where are we at? My number 3?
You number 3, G.
All right, so my number 3, I'm going with episode 7, The Force Awakens.
Okay.
Okay.
Good stuff.
Basically, I didn't really title it, but it's the scene when Rey summons Luke's lightsaber with the Force when she's fighting Kylo Ren.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to tell you why. You know, all the... you know, script and everything that's written into the scene. Obviously, it's a great scene, first of all, and it's very entertaining, and it's a lot of action. And we already talked about Adam Driver's portrayal of Kylo. Yes.
The
and,
way he keeps hitting his stomach to, like, get over the pain of being shot. I mean, he just got shot. Okay. Right.
So, I mean, it's a great scene. But taking everything off the screen, why this had to be on my top five is because what it did for women and for girls. Because you can remember, or I can remember, a time when, you know, Star Wars was for boys. You know, you can't play with a lightsaber because you're a little girl. You know, and then now these that happened in the eight, happening in the 70s and 80s. And now those girls are grown up. And obviously we know Carrie Fisher's, you know, legacy and what Princess Leia means to the... But Princess Leia, she was a badass bitch. Don't get me wrong. But, you know, we don't see her wielding lightsabers very often. And, you know, there's some scenes where she got in there.
Yeah.
But this one was great because it's like, you know what? This vindication to a certain extent.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm sure that people that are, you know, feminist or it's very important to them may have even teared up a little bit. Mm-hmm. Star Wars, whether you want to say it or not or whether you've even thought about it, it's predominantly been a male kind of like demographic.
Yeah.
So I thought Rey's character in general, and I don't know what's going to happen to The Last Jedi. Mm-hmm. I know there's some speculation. Maybe she's the Jedi. Maybe it's Luke. I don't know. But nevertheless, she's a great character that got introduced that is now the first female protagonist, at least since Princess Leia,
in my opinion.
So that's why I chose that moment, because she overcomes Kylo Ren with the Force in that scene. Mm-hmm. And it was a cool scene. I loved it.
Yeah, it's a great scene, and just to make one quick point, like I'm in the camp that says Daisy Ridley turned in the single best acting performance as Rey in the history of Star Wars.
Oh, absolutely, she did an amazing job.
Her facial expressions, you really feel for her throughout that film. So great choice, man.
Yeah, and she gets I think I've heard a lot of flack from her awakening when she's fighting Kylo, where she gets still and she is able to defeat him in a moment of kind of an awakening to the Force. And, she, you know, people are like, well, how, you know, she hasn't trained.
Well, she started believing it. Exactly. To your point with what Yoda told Luke.
Yeah, but the thing is that, first of all, Adam Driver, you know, Kylo Ren is already hurt and tired and falling apart.
True.
So first of all, she's fighting that. Second of all, to awaken to the Force and have a moment of awakening is not to be a trained Jedi. Right. Now, right after that, ask her to call upon it again. She probably couldn't do it. But she had a moment where she realized this thing is real.
And I've heard that
criticism.
This
thing is real
before.
And it's a power that's beneath me and it's here in quiet.
And I've heard that criticism before too. And I get that. That's why I was trying to limit it to just that 5-minute scene or whatever. And just what? No, really. And just
do the
what,
opposite of what you're doing, basically.
No, in other words, like if you had just watched that scene and you didn't watch the rest of the movie and you didn't know what her training was, that was a cool moment for her to kind of, you know, take control there. Mm-hmm. So that was cool. That was I don't even know what number that was.
That was your three. We're to Todd's two.
All right, so we're at Todd's
I'm excited, Todd.
Todd's
so
runner great. Up. You're number two, buddy.
All right, so I'm going to flip the script and I'm actually going to give my number one because you just gave it.
Okay, I did?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, because I want to build on it. And keep that conversation rolling.
Okay.
So,
all right.
And then I'll save my number two, which is still an amazing moment.
Okay.
As my new number 1.1.
That's fine.
So, yes, I call it Arthurian destiny. So the moment where Kylo Ren wants that lightsaber so badly because he's obviously obsessed with Darth Vader.
Yes.
It's Anakin's lightsaber. Yeah. It's not Luke's, you know. It's originally built by Anakin. And passed on to Luke and then lost along with a hand. And that moment where it flies past his face and into her hand, the look of surprise and resignation, like, okay, I can do this, is so amazing. And her awakening to me doesn't bother me because there's more of the story to unfold. And I think, you know, her general arc and background is going to flesh a lot of the doubt in people's mind about that moment kind of away. But the way that they filmed and shot that in the snow, like everything about that was perfect. And, and to the point too about her defeating Kylo Ren, I mean, let's not forget one thing. He's incredibly powerful. The entire film, they made a point to show how fucking powerful Chewbacca's bowcaster was.
Yeah.
I mean, it was destroying people.
Right.
And he took a bowcaster bolt
to the stomach
and just knelt down for a minute.
Right.
So, no, like, oh, God, that hurt.
And it set up, I mean, let's face it, it set up a collision course for those two in the next film or two films. And, but yeah, that to me is my favorite Star Wars moment to date.
Okay. Absolutely.
So we'll let you get we'll let you give your 1B when we come back around to you then. But I'm glad to see we were eye to eye there. So where are we at on number?
I'm gonna give my number two.
Number two,
which it's the same as I should have probably done what Todd did. And my number two is actually Luke's Awakening. My number two is going back, and we've already talked about the moment. The first three films build. This is Luke becoming a Jedi and facing his fear of the dark side, facing his lineage with his father. He starts by giving himself up and walking with his father and going to meet the Emperor. And the whole time the Emperor's taunting him, basically pulling him and pulling him and pulling him. And, you know, Darth Vader and him are kind of fighting. Darth is looking for him and says, basically, if you won't turn, your sister will. And that sparks the anger. Luke comes and starts beating at him, but then realizes in that moment of truth that he can choose a higher path, lays down his weapon, and becomes a Jedi.
You cannot hide forever, Luke.
I will not fight you.
Give yourself to the dark side. It is the only way you can save your friends. Yes, your thoughts betray you. Your feelings for them are strong, especially for sister. So, you have a twin sister. Your feelings have now betrayed her, too. Obi-Wan was wise to hide her from me. Now his failure is complete. If you will not turn to the dark side, then perhaps she will.
So it's the same thing Todd said, but that's my number two, Luke becoming the Jedi.
Another little crossover match there, but I like it. It's hard to go wrong, though, you know?
You know, Mark Hamill and Ian McDiarmid are so good in that scene, too. I don't think Mark gets enough credit for how good of an actor he is.
Oh, absolutely.
As Luke Skywalker. And even going into his voice work, I mean, he's the freaking Joker in the animated series Batman. Mm-hmm. You know, the guy is very talented, but he is so good at playing Luke. And again, I'll tell anybody that the ending with those three really saves a very flawed film, in my opinion. I'm not a huge Return of the Jedi fan. Yeah. If you listen to my podcast, you're very well aware of that, especially if, you know, the special editions. But I love that scene. Love it. And when he throws his lightsaber down and Palpatine knows that he failed, which Palpatine doesn't fail.
No, he doesn't. He doesn't
fail. So it's a big deal. Very big deal.
Easy to see why I got selected there. That was your number two, right, Andy?
Yes, number two.
So let me give you my number two, and then we'll wrap back around for Todd's 1B. So my number two is from The Empire Strikes Back, which prior to the resurgence of the recent films, which would be Episode 7 and Rogue One, was my favorite
overall film. Great movie.
The original sequel, so to speak. Well, what I chose is I chose not what we talked about on the opening of the show where, you know, Luke, I'm your father, but what I instead chose was Luke and Vader's first lightsaber duel.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I to be fair, I don't know if this scene was as impactful for me because I did know that that was his father.
Okay.
Now, of course, if you're watching this in real time, the idea is that you don't know yet because you haven't had that reveal. Do you see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm, so I wonder if maybe I was influenced because I know that that's father and son fighting.
Yeah. And Vader's waiting for him and he knows it.
Right, exactly. You know? And, you know, just the first battle of, the newly trained Jedi and this all-powerful Vader. Obviously a high-stakes showdown and you get to see, you know, we always get to see good and evil when the Jedi comes together with the dark side. But just that whole scene, I mean, it was. I rewatched it, like I said, yesterday, and it still holds up to me. Mm-hmm. Now, of course, you know, it's in the 80s, so you say what you want to say. But, I mean, for 80s cinema, it still holds up, and it's still very entertaining. And you kind of feel what both characters are feeling. And, you know, Darth Vader's like, just come on over to the dark side, brother. Like, just come on over, you know. And, you know, obviously Luke's fighting that and so on. So that's why, since we were not including the Luke, I'm your father, that would have been the second most impactful scene from Empire Strikes Back for me personally. So that's my number two.
Yep, that's a good one. And Empire is still the pinnacle of Star Wars films.
Yes,
it's the best Star Wars movie, and it's going to take one hell of a movie to dethrone that.
Yeah.
You know, one thing I think that makes that scene, especially the initial meeting, awesome is the lighting.
Yeah, that's true.
The lighting that they used in the carbon freezing chamber on Bestman or Cloud City is so awesome, man. And lighting isn't something you necessarily look to Star Wars films for, but in that particular moment, it is so perfect. The way that it's kind of dark and red, and it just really frames the moment of what's getting ready to happen. Very ominous.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, and Yoda predicts it. You know, Luke says, "I'm not afraid," and Yoda says, "You will be."
Right.
Basically, that's part of his training. He has to face his fear.
Right.
He has to face the dark side, which is Vader there waiting for him. And of course, you get a little glimpse. And of course, today with special effects, they show power in different ways, especially when it comes to the Jedi and the Sith. But you get to see, and they've used it a little bit more in the more in Rebels, how Vader fights. And you know, Vader doesn't run around and jump around. He's just powerful. And that's because of the limitations of the suit and, you know, trying to use how powerful he can be in that. But the way he fights Luke in that scene, you can see he's just kind of toying with him, seeing how good he is and seeing if he can use him, and just trying to scare him. He's throwing things at him as he's fighting. So I think it's just a great scene.
It is. It is. That was a good one there. Okay, so Todd, let's see, man. We're at our number ones. Although your technical number one was when Rey, when the lightsaber chose Rey.
Great moment, by the way.
Sorry, man. I just had to chime in there.
No problem, brother. I mean, we matched up, which makes me feel good. Yeah. So I didn't think I knew what the hell I was talking about, so that makes me feel good. So listen, why don't you give us, I guess, what would be like your 1B then, Todd? Go for it.
All right. Revenge of the Sith. A Night at the Opera. The opera scene with Anakin and Palpatine, to me, is one of the coolest scenes in all of, or obviously I think it is the second coolest scene in all of Star Wars. I love the backdrop with the opera, the ominous music, the explanation of Darth Plagueis the Wise, as Sidious really starts to reel Anakin the rest of the way in and comes just short of admitting that he is the Sith Lord, all the while playing on Anakin's sense of attachment and need to save his wife from a vision that may or may not come true. And in the end, Anakin made it come true himself.
You know the dark side?
Anakin, if one is to understand the great mystery, one must study all its aspects, not just the dogmatic narrow view of the Jedi. If you wish to become a complete and wise leader, you must embrace a larger view of the Force. Be careful of the Jedi, Anakin. Only through me can you achieve a power greater than any Jedi. Learn to know the dark side of the Force, and you will be able to save your wife from certain death.
What did you say?
Use my knowledge, I beg you. You're the Sith Lord. I know what's been troubling you. Listen to me. Don't continue to be a pawn of the Jedi Council. Ever since I've known you, you've been searching for a life greater than that of an ordinary Jedi. A life of significance, of conscience. Are you going to kill me?
I would certainly like to.
I know you would. I can feel your anger. It gives you focus, makes you stronger.
I love, love, love that scene. Ian McDiarmid and Hayden Christensen, but Ian McDiarmid especially is perfect in his dual role in that scene, and I look forward to it every time I watch that film.
Awesome, man.
Yeah, that's like that's the pinnacle of Darth Sidious's, like you said, reeling Anakin in over time, playing on his ego. Well, they just don't know how powerful you are. You're just so powerful. You're so powerful. But in the end, using that, the very most basic fear we have, the fear of death, and basically saying that we can figure this out, you know, together. We can crack immortality. There is a way to basically serve your ego to the utmost and defeat death, especially for the ones you love. So the way he utilizes that, and the way his intelligence, and that's a great series of moments. I also love the next moment when Anakin finds out that he is the Sith Lord and still goes tells the Jedi about it. So he's still having that moment of fear and, you know, and deciding, well, what is right and what is right and what is wrong and what do I do here? You know, I love that. It's still complicated.
Yeah.
It's still complicated.
And that moment makes you hate Mace Windu even more.
Yes, exactly. Like, I'm just going to fuck this guy up.
If this is right, you'll have earned my trust. And it's like, bitch, I've been the hero of the Clone Wars, and you're saying just now you're going to earn me? Give me a break. Yeah,
tough,
you know?
Tough room. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Tough crowd.
But then Mace Windu is actually, you see how powerful Mace Windu is. He's fighting the Emperor and winning. And then he's about to kill him. And then Anakin's like, no, we can't do this. He has to go to trial. We're Jedi.
Right.
You know, we can't do this.
Right. Cool, man.
Mace Windu had beat Sidious. I mean, he had him beaten, and Anakin, you know, or Sidious knew what was going to happen. Exactly. I mean, there's a bunch of different ways you can look at that, but
that's cool, man.
Great.
All right, so nice list by Todd there. Very nice. I love all those picks, and I feel good that we had a little crossover there,
too. I'm
getting
Star Wars hot, man. I got to go back and watch some Star Wars now.
You didn't give your number one yet?
No, not yet.
Okay, so what's your number one, Andy?
Anytime anybody asks me about Star Wars, especially about my favorite relationship, of course, is between the light and the dark, you know, the different ways we experience the Force, and how different the Jedi and the Sith are, and of course, I think we're going to move away from that kind of dichotomy in the next films with the end of the Jedi and the Sith. But, my favorite moment, which really describes what those differences are and where they derive their power from, is from episode one, when Obi-Wan Kenobi and his master, what's his master's name again?
Remind me. Qui-Gon Jinn.
And Qui-Gon Jinn are fighting Darth Maul. And they're fighting and they're fighting and they're fighting. And they have this moment where this barrier comes up between Qui-Gon Jinn and Darth Maul. And Qui-Gon Jinn sits down, gets quiet, and begins to meditate, because as a Jedi, he derives his power from stillness, silence, and peace. But Darth Maul just paces back and forth, staring at Qui-Gon Jinn, getting angrier and angrier and angrier, because as a Sith, he derives his power from his passion and emotion. So in that moment, you get to see the difference between how they wield their power, how they use it, and where the Jedi and the Sith get their power from. I think it's an amazing scene.
There you go. That's cool. That's a cool scene, because it basically defines the light and dark side, what you're saying. Well, go ahead, Todd. What were you going to say about that scene?
I mean, it's the duel of the fates, you know, and yeah, you're right. I love how Qui-Gon, you know, has this peaceful moment of meditation, and Darth Maul looks like a caged animal.
Yeah.
Right. But yeah, that's still the best lightsaber fight in all of Star Wars. Even more so than the Anakin Obi-Wan fight, in my opinion. I love watching it, and it's certainly the best moment of episode one.
There you go. So yeah, you got a little prequel action on the number one, buddy.
I love it.
The
whole
universe.
Both of us did, actually.
Yeah, that's right. Both of you did. That's right.
I went back and forth between Luke's awakening and that moment as one and two. But I mean, I just, my love for what the Force is and how they explain it and how they explain the different ways we utilize it, I think it's all captured in that moment, and I had to give it.
All right. Well, listen, in true Gerald fashion, I'm going to give a little simplistic approach here. My number one, okay? I'm not going to get as deep into the Star Wars universe as you guys, but I'll just tell you, this is my personal moment. It's probably influenced by the fact that it's one of the more recent. It may have just happened. It's from Rogue One. It is what I'm calling Vader's Massacre.
We were all waiting for it.
Scene in Rogue One, basically. And, you know, what I put down here on my notes is, you know, this is, in my opinion, is the first true demonstration of the full extent of his power physically. Mm-hmm. You know, in the original trilogy, you know, and it was probably a product of the time as well, and the technology and the special effects and that kind of thing. But you just didn't get a lot of, I mean, for lack of a better way to put it, murder.
Yeah.
You know, you didn't get a lot of dead bodies getting thrown around and getting stabbed through the heart and stuff. So, you know, he just kind of fucking, you know, when he shows up in that scene and they know something's off and it's dark and the way you see him is his red lightsaber lighting up, which illuminates him. And
everyone
just
knows about him.
And everyone knows fears about him to begin with. And then he just steps into the scene and just fucking takes out, I don't know, 15, 20 guys on his way to try to get, you know, a new hope from them before they can get it to Princess Leia. Now, you know, this scene wraps up with the CGI of Princess Leia. I didn't have a problem with that when I saw it in the theater, because Carrie Fisher had just passed. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, she had just passed shortly before that. And I don't know. I mean, she had to be in that scene. So how are they going to do it?
I think it's fine.
Your Highness, the transmission we received. What is it they've sent us?
Hope.
Yeah, I'm just saying, I know that a lot of Star Wars fans kind of gave heat for that. But more so this scene I'm talking about, just Vader just fucking just wrecking shop.
Yeah.
And, you know, I had goosebumps when I saw it in the theater. The whole 2 hours building up to that 90 seconds was worth it.
Yeah.
I mean, that, in my opinion, and I know this is not going to be popular amongst a lot of Star Wars aficionados like yourselves, but in my opinion, that 3 minute portion or whatever it is, 2.5 minutes is the most, I've never felt as energetic and enthusiastic Damn. About the movies as I was sitting in the theater watching yeah. that. It was just awesome to see. And yeah. anytime Darth Vader was on screen in Rogue yeah. One, I mean, even when he was, I don't remember the general's name that he held yeah. up with the Force by his yeah. throat or whatever. And
don't choke on your ambitions.
Yeah, you know, yeah. just anytime he was there, you just saw that maliciousness and that malice that was kind of lacking in the original trilogy. We knew it. They talked about it. We knew yeah. it. We just didn't see it. We didn't mm-hmm. witness that darkness. You know what I mean? And that came out in Rogue One. And, you know, Todd's not going to like this, but Rogue One is very, very, very close to surpassing Empire for my favorite.
Well, no, it's my number. It's my number two Star Wars. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, right there, I would literally probably say they're tied at this point. And again, it's probably the product of the technology yeah. and it being so fresh. Yeah. But I love Rogue One. I mean, I would easily give Rogue One an A+ as far as the grade's concerned.
I agree, man. It's a flawless film. I mean, it's really the only Star Wars film where there's not a flaw in it.
Right.
I don't think it there's certain moments in Empire to me that make it still my favorite, but Rogue One is a solid number two. And your moment, I call that the culmination of Vader's bad day. Like, so the way you look at it is like the dude's yeah. chilling in his meditation chamber / back to tank.
Right.
He yeah. gets pulled out to deal with Krennic and his bullshit.
Yeah, what are you doing here?
So by the time he, yeah, by the you come time see he me? Gets to the battle, he's over it. And to me, that scene adds so much to the opening of A New Hope.
Of course, when, yeah.
you know, they're like, Leia's like, I'm on a diplomatic mission. And he's like, bullshit, bitch.
Exactly. You just left. I saw your ship fly away.
Right.
Yeah, I just fucking killed half your crew.
Right.
You're a traitor. Get the hell out of my face. I want to get back to my hot tub.
Right. You know? And I saw somebody, mm-hmm. somebody like a fan did a merge of the two films yes. together. Did you see that? Where they like spliced, yeah, uh-huh. spliced the ending yeah. of 3.5 and 4 together. And, that was really cool to see that kind of play yes. out like that too, and have that kind of missing piece, yeah. if you will. Because Rogue One's cool too, yeah. because this is a perfect example. Okay. So my wife is a Carrie Fisher fan, but never got into Star Wars. So I said, you know what? We're going to watch all of them. We're gonna binge all.
You made your wife watch all the Star Wars.
I've told you this. We're nice. Going to binge all of them, and we started with Rogue One.
Yeah,
because it was out in the theater at the time.
Okay.
So I said, we'll start with Rogue One, and then we'll watch 4, 5, and 6.
Okay.
And then we'll watch it the way it was released, okay. you know, the way it was released in real time or whatever. Okay. But we'll start with Rogue One because that plays into Episode 4. I'd read that, you know, going into it. So that, and a perfect example, she had never, didn't know any, I mean, she knew the characters, obviously, yeah. from yeah. pop culture, but she didn't know anything about the plot or anything yeah. like that. And she was able to keep up no problem whatsoever. Yeah. So what's cool about Rogue One, too, is it's a one-shot movie. Yes. You can watch that movie. Huh. And that's a great movie.
It's kind of like Empire. It stands alone.
And then if you want to know what happens, you can watch 4, you yeah. know, and so on and so forth. But you could watch it and be entertained and go, yeah. wow, that's a good flick just by itself,
yeah.
which I thought was cool, too. You don't, I mean, Star Wars got so many moving parts, yeah. brother, that yeah. you wouldn't think that would really be able to happen. But
what I like about this last scene you're talking about is so much of what Vader is legend. I mean, and the fact that they do so much with Vader in 4, 5, and 6 and make him such a menace and such a villain for our time without him doing much is just, it shows how powerful his character yeah. is. The first time you hear about him is Ben Kenobi saying, you know, the Jedi were hunted down and killed by the Emperor and Darth Vader.
Yeah.
So right there, you know, he's already earned his stripes. And you don't really see, I want to see Vader's story. You get a little bit of that in the show Rebels about how he actually went from, you know, place to place killing Jedi.
Yeah.
So he's already earned it. You don't see him fighting much. He is a legend. Everyone knows about him. He is the dark menace
right.
of the Empire and, right. you know, the right strong hand of the Emperor. So,
all right.
It's so, just, I mean, that's a great scene.
All right, great man. Thank you. So let's do our honorable mentions. We're running out of time here, so let's just run through them. Todd, did you have any honorable mention scenes that didn't get mentioned today you want to throw a shout out to there?
I do. I've got two. Actually, no. You know what? I'm only going to do one because I'm going to break the rules again because I'm just a fucking rule breaker.
You are, man. You're a rebel.
I'm sorry, man. All right. So the Clone Wars, when Ahsoka walks away from the Jedi, is one of the biggest moments mm-hmm. in the history of Star Wars, yeah. whether it's a yeah. movie. It is. I mean, it's the most tear-jerky moment, and it is it belongs on this list, even though we did. I'm following your trying to follow your rules, but
right. No, that's fine. Give it honorable, man. That's a shout out. You got it. That's a shout out. You got to have absolutely. Yeah, I agree with you 100%.
And it just backs up Anakin's fall because, you know, at that point everybody had turned their back
on
Ahsoka, not believing that she was innocent. And, you know, you're fully expecting, you know, you're watching this, it's a cartoon, you're like, okay, cool, she'll come back. And when she doesn't, she walks away. It's a huge moment, and it helps Anakin's character arc so much. So that is my honorable mention there.
It also feeds into another great moment in Rebels. I'm sure, Todd, you watch Rebels, where, you know, Ahsoka comes face-to-face with Vader, finally. And they have this moment where they're fighting, and she chops his helmet, and she looks into his eye. And she's getting ready to walk away because his temple is collapsing. And she turns around when she hears him say, Ahsoka. And she turns around and says, I won't leave you again. And then Vader's eyes squint and he says, so you will die.
Yeah.
I mean, there's so much power in that relationship between Padawan and Anakin and what Anakin becomes. You know, she says, you know, I didn't want to believe that you're my master. And Vader says, Anakin was weak, so I destroyed him. So you get so much in that relationship. Yeah. That's a beautiful scene.
Do you have any additional honorable
mentions? I'm going to give a great honorable mention. I mean, there's so many good ones. There's when Luke in The Return of the Jedi, when Luke walks in and it's to the guards of what's his name? Of the Blob. Jabba's temple. Too excited. He walks in and the guards approach him and he just chokes him and pushes him against the wall. Right. That's a great moment. I'm going to break the rules too because Todd opened up the floodgates. And the very first episode, not the movie, but the first episode of Clone Wars, you follow Yoda on this battle where he's with these three clone troopers and Asajj Ventress, who is a Sith apprentice of Count Dooku, is sending all these troops after him. And it comes back to the very end where, you know, Asajj Ventress and Yoda come face to face. And Asajj pulls out her two lightsabers and lights them.
Yeah.
And Yoda just reaches out and takes them from her with the Force and says, right, strong are you in the Force, but not that strong.
So good.
Retreat you should, and then gives them back.
Oh, listen,
her the lightsabers back. Like, I'm too badass to fight you.
Well,
right,
listen,
now.
You don't know what you're getting into. I didn't do any Clone Wars Rebels, so honorable mentions. I stayed in my lane here. You guys are fucking all over the place.
Sorry.
I'm just kidding. Yeah. The only ones that didn't get mentioned today, at some point or another, I put, you know, when Leia and Han had the infamous scene, I love you, I know, from Empire Strikes Back.
Improvised, by the way. Improvised by Han Solo.
Yeah, exactly. Which makes it as cool as it is to me. And then the only other one that I wanted to mention that was just kind of a moment for Star Wars geeks, kind of like a little tingle in your neck when you saw it, is when Han Solo says, Chewie, we're home, when he's back to the Millennium Falcon.
Yes. Another great moment is when Han Solo mentioned it's all true, because, you know, you don't remember. I mean, you don't like realize at the time, but, you know, to Rey and to Finn, this is all a legend. They've heard about Luke Skywalker, but what is the Force? What is Luke Skywalker?
Right.
And then Han Solo says, you know, Han Solo, the guy who says, give me a good blaster, you know, forget all this mumbo jumbo. He says, it's all true.
Right.
Everything you've heard is true. Another great moment.
So that's it, guys. That's our top five moments from the Star Wars universe. We even threw in a little Clone Wars for you guys there. Hopefully you guys enjoyed it. I want to thank our guest, Todd, for being on this bonus episode this week. And Todd, why don't you go ahead and tell everybody where they can find you online, man? Because if they're probably listening to this, if they're Star Wars fans, I would imagine. So they might want to look you guys up. And I know you have a blog and some other things. So, Todd, go ahead and plug whatever you'd like to, brother.
Cool. Yeah. So our podcast is called The Exhaust Port. It's a weekly podcast. You can find us on iTunes, SoundCloud, Google Play. Just head to our blog, which is dorksideoftheforce.net, not .com. And plenty of links. We also, you know, have columns where we review, you know, all the expanded universe material, give opinions. And then we have a separate site called Dorkside Productions, where we allow local Star Wars fans who are artists to create fan art, and we help them get their products out there in the form of t-shirts, prints, all the way down to premium yoga leggings for the ladies. So, nice. And a major portion of the proceeds always goes back to the artists, more so than TeePublic or Society6 or Redbubble would provide. So,
my wife's birthday is coming up. That's good.
Oh, there you go.
That's good to know.
All right, you go ahead and put the last dagger in your relationship.
Get her some dark side leggings.
You know what? We Let me know. I'll get you a discount.
All right. I'll let you know. Absolutely. I'm getting her. I told you I'm getting her to the series, making her binge it. So who knows? All right, cool. Well, Todd, I appreciate it, brother. Yeah, it's been a pleasure having you on, man. And anybody that's a Star Wars fan, go look Todd up.
He's got absolutely.
He got some good things going on over there at the exhaust port. Jesus, I need to get my speech coach.
I'm not extorting anybody. I'm just doing a podcast.
exactly. And then the Dork Side Productions as well. Todd, I appreciate it, man. That was our top five Star Wars moments for this bonus episode of Two Peas on a Podcast. Andy, say goodbye to the ladies and gentlemen out there.
And bye, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks, Todd, man. It was a pleasure speaking with
Thanks
you.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely, man. Appreciate it.
Yep.
Thank you for listening to Two Peas on a Podcast. The views and opinions expressed were solely those of the hosts and are not necessarily shared by our distributors or hosting companies. Visit twopeasonapod.com for more info.